Would you like to help a college or seminary student attend the Issues Etc. Making the Case conference? You can purchase a conference scholarship for a contribution of $120 to Issues Etc. You can donate online at issuesetc.org/scholarship, or you can make your $120 check payable to Issues Etc., write scholarship in the memo line, and send it to Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois 62234.
We miss you, Amber.
We know you're still hurting. It's times like these you really need to lean on your faith.
I tried putting my faith in God. I don't understand why he would do that to us. If he wants me, he knows where to find me.
I planted it in Sunday school. That's my mustard seed.
I don't know, honey. Some seeds just don't grow where we live.
Mom, this one will.
Wake up something.
No grandchild of mine is going to be out on the streets.
I've got this under control.
Mom, Cody is a race car driver.
I have not seen her that happy in a really long time.
She's a great kid.
Amber, I guess something he's been wanting to tell you.
Sergeant Hill, he was the closest thing I ever had to a father. His faith gave him the courage to do the impossible.
That's the trailer for the movie God Bless the Broken Road. We're going to be reviewing it here with Pastor Ted Geese on this Friday afternoon. In fact, we're going to be reviewing two movies here on this Friday afternoon. Holly Shearer will join us a little bit later to review the movie Gosnell, The Trial of America's Biggest Serial Killer. Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc. live on this Friday afternoon, October the 12th. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. After those two movie reviews, Pastor Chris Roseboro will join us. We'll be doing our regular feature this week in Pop American Christianity. We're going to talk about an apostolic leader. That's what he calls himself. Daniel Zelli. He has rejected the idea that sinners are saved by grace. We'll hear him say it for himself and get Chris's reaction during that feature. Then we're going to play Issues Etc. soundbite of the week. It's a simple game with our listeners where we play four sound bites, you listen, then you call, email, send us a tweet, or go to our Facebook fan page and you vote for one of them to be Issues Etc. soundbite of the week. Our call in number 1-877-623-MYIE. Our email address, talkback@issuesetc.org. Our Twitter address, @issuesetc. And our Facebook fan page, where we have left space for your votes for Issues Etc. soundbite of the week, facebook.com/issuesetc. Joining us to review the movie God Bless the Broken Road, Pastor Ted Geese. He has a bachelor's degree in fine arts. He's pastor of Mount Olive Lutheran Church in Regina, Saskatchewan, Canada. And he taught a course for Concordia Lutheran Seminary titled Christianity and the Movies, A Lutheran Approach to Media Consumption. Ted, welcome back.
Thanks, Todd.
Someone who is familiar with the director's previous work, Harold Cronk, the two God Is Not Dead movies, should they expect a similar film?
I think you could probably expect something similar in one particular way, in that those films and this film are melodramas. Melodramas kind of come on a sliding scale. So this one is better. Like, each of those films are getting better, one from the next. So his films are getting better. They're still in the category of melodrama. You know, I think he's trying to distance himself a little bit from that, but it's still, I guess people may be familiar with things like Hallmark Hall of Fame kind of films. They're, you know, light films. They don't have, you know, a lot of bad language in them. They're not, there's no nudity, sex scenes, violence is at a very bare minimum, if there's any at all. You know, so for a lot of people, it's going to be, air quotes, good, clean fun kind of a thing like that. But it does have that kind of also melodramatic tinge to it that those kind of films have.
What's the story it's telling?
The story is the story of a widow whose husband has died in Afghanistan. So it also has like a patriotic kind of a thread that runs through it. And she's raising a daughter, and she's going to lose the house. And because she can't make ends meet, she's working 24/7 at a diner. And essentially, people want to help her, but she doesn't want to take the help. She wants to do it on her own. and she's also angry with God. So that's pretty much how the film gets set up. Then there's a love interest with another person who has to learn some lessons in life. And, you know, that's kind of the flow of it. And then, of course, everything resolves in the end.
So where is the story? I mean, what is the story that's being told here emphasizing? What is the path of the character's arc?
Well, I think there's kind of an interesting story in here in that, you know, the audience is kind of left to assume that the main character is, you know, like often the main character is the protagonist. You know, they have antagonists, people who are working against them in films. In this case, the you're assuming that the main character, this widow, Amber Hill, is the protagonist because she's a widow and you're intended to feel sympathy towards her, but she's actually the antagonist of the film. She is making her life miserable by not accepting help from anyone. That is interesting. That's an interesting thing. The arc that she's on is that she finally relents and then things turn the corner. So she's angry with God. She has kind of a confrontational prayer with God on the, you know, the front steps of the church she refuses to go to. And then after that, she starts to have the turnaround in her life. So she makes certain demands there. She, you know, like, how are you going to fix this? You know, where's my reward? We've given everything to you. How could you take, you know, the father away from our daughter? How can you drive my daughter away from me? And really, she's the one who's, you know, apart from her father, her husband dying and the father of her child dying, after that effect, after that, everything that she does just kind of creates her into the antagonist. That's interesting. What would be more interesting, and I think probably more realistic, and this is like just a structural thing, is that this movie plays out a lot like romantic comedies do, or romance do, or even like Star Trek TV shows. In that 45 minutes in a Star Trek TV show, or 25 minutes before the end of a romantic comedy, there's a crisis point, and then there's the resolution, kind of like denouement style, where everything gets resolved. And then it's rinse, repeat, right? So that's not very realistic. And I think the thing is, and I realize we just like explained that this is a melodrama, and of course melodramas are not very realistic, but the real challenge is that you have serious things going on. So you have like a husband who's died. You have a mother trying to make ends meet. These are serious things. So the more realistic thing would have a structure where maybe she has her melodramatic meltdown 25 minutes into the film, and then the rest of the film is showing how the will of God happens in spite of this antagonistic individual who's fighting against all the help that she's actually receiving. That would be a more interesting film to me as a viewer, but maybe I'm not the regular viewer for these particular kind of films.
Since it's dealing with the battle of wills between this individual and God, how is God portrayed as a character? Is this simply kind of, we're getting one side of the conversation? I mean, sometimes these films want to include God as a character, not, you know, with a Charlton Heston voiceover, but in some way like that.
Yeah, no, this is not going to be like Bruce Almighty or Evan Almighty, where there is an actual God character who's there having the conversation. You know, it's not that kind of thing. So it is one-sided in that sense. This is also kind of like the illustration that people have heard lots of times, where it's like the guy's on the roof of his house and the flood's coming, and a guy comes by with a boat and says, quick, get in the boat. And he says, no, I'm praying that God would save me. And then, you know, like the, you know, helicopter comes with all of the things come, and then eventually he dies. And then the question is, well, why didn't you take all the help that I was giving you? So, I mean, the fingerprints of God are on the film in that there are people there trying to help her. Like her mother-in-law is trying to help her. The people from her congregation are trying to help her. you know, this new guy in town who's a race car driver, he in his way is trying to help her. Even her daughter is trying to help her. Like she is taking her daughter to church, and her daughter has like a little craft that she makes where, you know, she gets a pot and she puts a mustard seed in it, and the daughter brings it home, and the mother kind of, you know, frazzled and, you know, dejected, says, well, some seeds don't grow here. And then it's about the seed of faith, right? So, you know, the daughter is insistent that it will. And by the, of course, on cue, by the end of the film, you see the pot, which had been broken, now all put back together again with the seed actually sprouting. So to indicate that this Amber Hill's character did in fact have that seed of faith still in her, right? So this is where, you know, like there was all of this, the fingerprints of God are on it in terms of people trying to help her, but she's obstinately not wanting the help until that moment where she has her turnaround, and then things start to fall in place.
Pastor Ted Geese is our guest. We're reviewing the movie God Bless the Broken Road. When we come back, pastorally, how would he evaluate the message of the film? I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc.
Everybody in the neighborhood is dressing up to be there too. And we're gonna have a ball just like we always do. Saturday night at the movies. Who cares what picture you see?
You can meet and hear Anthony Eslin, John Warwick Montgomery, Ryan Anderson, Bev Yonke, Mark Kaltoff, and Chris Rosebro at the Fall 2018 Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, Friday, November 9th and Saturday, November 10th in Dallas, Texas. Registration is $120. For more information, visit issuesetc.org. The Fall Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, November 9th and 10th in Dallas. issuesetc.org.
The Lord is our shepherd, and we are the people of his pasture. Why then do we still suffer in this life? Disease, loneliness, persecution. I'm Katie Schuerman, and I'm collaborating with Cheryl Swope, Molly Hemingway, and a host of literary friends in He Restores My Soul, a book that takes an honest look at hardship and heartache in light of God's promises found in his word. He Restores My Soul is now available at emmanuelpress.us. EMMANUELPress.US.
Spiritual and religious. You're listening to Issues Etc.
The Church's Music from the 20th Century. The 17th Century. The 11th century. The 8th century. The 4th century. The best of the Church's music from the past 2,000 years. LutheranPublicRadio.org.
Most school boards are not responsive to parents any longer, so it's not the same public school. And the game changer really has been just this promotion of the LGBT culture.
These people who are going nuts, screaming at the Supreme Court, pounding on the doors, and doing the same thing at colleges. What happens on campus is not going to stay on campus. It is going to infect the mainstream of our politics.
When is grace ever not radical? So why do you need to qualify it with the word radical? What's the itch you're trying to scratch here?
These forms of worship come with an inherent enthusiastic theology that is diametrically opposed to the sacraments and the means of grace.
Next hour, we'll play Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week. Those four soundbites we will play for you in their entirety. Then after you've listened, you will vote by giving us a call, 1-877-623-MYIE, sending us an email, talkback@issuesetc.org, a tweet at issuesetc, or you may vote in advance at our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/issuesetc. In the meantime, we are reviewing the movie God Bless the Broken Road. Pastor Ted Geese is our guest. Ted, pastorally, how would you evaluate the message of this film?
This is challenging because, like pastors deal with, and I deal with as a pastor, situations where, you know, like there's that thing that people sometimes say is that God won't give you more than you can handle, which is kind of a misapplication of a different part of Scripture that isn't really about that. You know, it's that, you know, in times of temptation, there's a way out. Right. So, but people will apply this idea that God won't give you more than you can handle to things like cancer or, you know, divorce or job loss or, you know, things that are really probably in a lot of cases more than you can handle. So the thing is when you do receive something like a thing in your life that's more than you can handle, then you can have help. Like then those people need help. So God can answer prayers by providing people who will help you in times when you have more than you can handle. Right? So this is kind of a film where she just eschews and pushes away all that help all the way through the film. And then in this very melodramatic big moment where she has this big prayer on the, you know, the steps of the church, after that things start to change. I think that there are times when people have that big dramatic prayer on the steps of the church and it doesn't immediately change. Right? Like in the catechism it says that, you know, God's will is accomplished whether you pray or not. So sometimes it's in spite of our actions that God is actually fulfilling things. And that's a hard lesson for some people to learn. So this is, I think that the thing is about the film is that it's one of these movies where it's dealing with a subject matter that is really serious, but it's dealing with it in a way that's not exactly analogous to real life. It's not a real drama. It's like I said at the beginning, it's a melodrama. So it's not taking it as seriously as it probably actually would be if it was a real story and not a fictional story.
In terms of, since we are talking about the will as well, in terms of getting this kind of, it's because it's not a conversion story per se, but no, getting the place of the human will right with respect to spiritual matters from the Lutheran perspective, does it cross any lines there?
I don't want to be uncharitable. It's not delving very deeply into this. You know, it's not getting where it maybe actually needs to go. If you're hankering for a story where somebody's having issues of doubt and it's being displayed in a honest and raw and really thoughtful way that's not, you know, on the surface, you might want to go watch Martin Scorsese's movie Silence, because a movie like that is digging deeper into that. Or even like the movie Paul the Apostle of Christ, which we had also reviewed, that one is going to go deeper than this film goes. So it's just, you can almost not even talk too much about it in the course of this film, because it's not going very deeply on the subject, but it is a subject that kind of demands to go deeply on it, if that makes any sense.
I'm curious about just the title, which most people will associate with a song that Rascal Flatts made very popular in 2004 when they were just kind of rising to country music fame. I believe that they actually were doing a remake of or a cover of the song, but a lot of people associate this as a love ballad that's only quasi-religious in its lyrics. God Bless the Broken Road. God was kind of guiding me down this crooked path. back to you is the message of the song. Does the song actually, and all the associations going along with it, actually fit the film itself?
I mean, she's certainly on a broken road. Things are not going well for her. In the end, she does find a new person to have in her life as another man now has now entered into her life. So it's there, but it's almost, I feel as though it's not as well integrated into the film as it could be. Like even in the music itself, I don't know what their agreement deal with, you know, the guys that wrote it originally, actually some of the guys in Nitty Gritty Dirt Band. I don't know what the agreement was with that, like how much they could use the song or whatever, but you'd hope that maybe they would better integrate it into the whole film. It's there, you know, it's almost like it's priming the pump. And then at the end of the film, there's a moment when it's on the radio. At the end of the film, she's playing it again in church. Like she's playing it in church. So that indicates that now she's out of her dark place and she's back where she belongs, this is a super serious topic. It's really good. Like somebody who's estranged from church because of circumstances in their lives, how do they end up back in church? How does that process happen? This is a worthwhile topic, right? And the song is there, could be better used maybe in the film, especially if you have a name that's so, well known. Like this song is quite well known. I mean, it's not one that we would want to see played in church as outside of a kind of a concert type kind of situation. But there you go. So yeah, I mean, like that I think is an important part of the film. I know that, you know, this year there was a movie called I Can Only Imagine, which I did not see, but which is the story of how that song got written. And that's a song that's popular in some circles of Christians. But this is not how that God Bless the Broken Road came to be as a song. This is a fictional story that kind of interlaces with some of the ideas and the lyrics of that song.
You can read Pastor Ted Geese's review of the film God Bless the Broken Road at our website, issuesetc.org. Click listen on demand. Pastor Ted Geese has a bachelor's degree in fine arts. He's pastor of Mount Olive Lutheran Church in Regina, Saskatchewan, Canada, and he taught a course for Concordia Lutheran Seminary titled Christianity in the Movies, A Lutheran Approach to Media Consumption. Ted, thanks again.
Thank you.
On the other side of the break, Holly Shear joins us for another movie review, this of a much darker subject, Gosnell, the trial of America's biggest serial killer. Issues Etc. regular guest Pastor Brian Ketchelmeyer is the author of our book of the month for October, Reading Isaiah with Luther. It's published by Concordia Publishing House. Their phone number, 1-800-325-3040. Or you can browse before you buy at issuesetc.org. Learn how the conscience is a gift from God and how only through Christ can you receive a clean conscience in Reading Isaiah with Luther, the Issues Etc. book of the month, Reading Isaiah with Luther.
This is Dr. Daniel Gard, president of Concordia University Chicago, with a message for parents, grandparents, and godparents of college-bound children. Concordia University Chicago is a distinctive, comprehensive university of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, and we are committed to our Lutheran confession and heritage. Please encourage the student in your life to check out Concordia University Chicago at cuchicago.edu.
Looking for a faithful Lutheran church in East Central Oklahoma? Welcome to Trinity Okmulgee, a friendly and faithful LCMS congregation only 40 miles south of Tulsa. Hi, this is Pastor Chris Teebs. Check us out at trinityokmulgee.org. That's Trinity, OKMULGEE, all one word, .org. See you soon at Trinity Okmulgee, Oklahoma.
October is Pastor Appreciation Month, and to mark the occasion, the Lutheran Witness is tackling ministry and mental health. Some articles focus on life in the ministry, others deal with emotional wellness generally, still others, including what are perhaps the most powerful pieces of writing in this power-packed issue, grapple with the complicated and often thorny relationship between the two. Subscribe today at cph.org/witness. The Lutheran Witness, interpreting the contemporary world from a Lutheran Christian perspective.
Theology for blue collar, white collar, and clerical collar. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
We Lutherans were never aided by following along with some other tradition's theological priorities and catchphrases.
Issues, Etc. regular guest, Pastor Heath Curtis, coordinator for stewardship for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod on a Lutheran approach to stewardship.
Other folks are not approaching it from our good, solid Lutheran understanding of law and gospel and vocation. There's a place to talk about this in Christianity, and we have a way of talking about stewardship as Lutherans without ever using the word stewardship, if you like. I'm going to talk to you today about your vocation in your home, in your church, in your society, and how each one of these makes a claim on you, on your presence, on your support, on your prayers. That's how we should talk about this as Lutherans.
You'll find several stewardship resources at lcms.org/stewardship, lcms.org/stewardship.